الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the major concepts in the deen is that the battle against any type of sin doesn't begin with the sin itself. It begins with the context or the environment of that sin. Muslims are very proactive when it comes to guarding themselves from falling into those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade, if you get close to it, the fear is that you will fall into it. الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات. Then halal is very clear, and haram is very clear. But between them there's a gray zone. Right? And the Muslim avoids the gray zone because the person who dabbles too much in the gray zone is very likely to eventually fall into that which is sin. Also take the example of Adam alayhi salam, right? When he was in heaven with Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell them, do not eat from the tree. لا تأكلوا من هذه الشجرة. That was not said. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا مِنْ هَذِي الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not draw close to the tree. Because the understanding is that if you come close to the tree, if you don't come close to the tree, you'll never eat from it. Right? And most people, what they do is they think that I need to avoid the sin. Right? I need to not look at X, Y, and Z on the internet. So what they do is they get themselves to right at the edge of the cliff. When you're at the edge of the cliff, you have no choice except to fall over. The nafs is already too strong. The nafs is already at the edge. It will just push you over. Right? It's very easy to push someone who's at the edge of a cliff. You just have to give him a little push, and he falls down. Right? And he falls and falls into a deep, abysmal chasm of sin. However, if a person is sitting at the bottom of the mountain, right, you can push him all you want. You're not going to make him fall off the cliff because the cliff is so far away. Right? Similarly, if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. He does not say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Do not do zina. He says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Do not get close to zina. Right? Don't have girlfriends. Don't have social talks. Don't have hanging out. Don't have all these type of things, because the idea is if you get yourself into those type of relationships, it's only a matter of time before you do the deed. Right? That's the nature of man. Right? That's the nature of man. So the number one big broad principle that I wanted you to bring to the fore, and it's not the subject of this talk, but it's a big broad principle that you can take with you for the rest of your life, is if you want to avoid sin, then you need to avoid the environment, the context in which that sin occurs. Okay? So some person thinks that, you know, I want to be good, but why do I end up doing things which are against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do? And if you trace actions back, oftentimes they will originate from some type of thought. Right? So that's what's actually the subject of today's talk, is what are the different levels, what have the ulama written about thought, right? In an abstract sense, in a metaphysical sense, how do we categorize thought? And what are the different ahkam, what are the different rulings when we talk about these different categories of thoughts? There's one type of thought which is the most fleeting, if you want to say, put it that way. We call it the fleeting thought, like a notion. It's called khatir. This is what we call the fleeting thought. This idea passes through the mind, but it doesn't find or have any interaction, significant interaction with the nafs, right? The self, the lower self, doesn't interact with it very much. It sort of comes and goes, right? So all throughout the day, there's information coming into the mind, passing out of the mind, into the mind, passing out of the mind, and you never really settles, right? You might not even know that you even really thought about it, right? That's something which is called khatir. What is khatir? You see in Arabic, ma khatara bi bali. You never even thought about it. Right? You never even. So this thought that this is something which it's a fleeting thought. It's like a spark that comes across. The idea is that there's an evil thought. Evil thought, just let it pass. Right? Do not let it settle. Then the second. This is hajis. Hajis. Okay, this is the first one. I said thought that is hajis. The second level of thought is what we call khawaf. This is the second one. And what happens is when there's this khawaf, then what happens is the thought passes through the mind, right? Passes through the mind, and it interacts a little bit with the nafs, but then it passes away, right? That also you should allow to pass. The next level is what we call hadith and nafs, right? This is when it interacted with the nafs in such a way that, you know, the person thought about it, but he never really planned about doing it, right? He just sort of, sort of ruminated over the idea, you can say, but it never had any active plan to carry it out. Now what happens is in this third level, which is called hadith al-nafs, right? Now there is some type of settling of that thought. Not only did it interact with the lower self or the nafs, but there's some settling of that thought internally, right? Such that a person begins to think about it, begins to plot it, begins to plan how to execute that thing. But he doesn't really decide whether he wants to do it or not, right? He doesn't really decide, you know, whether I should do this, whether I shouldn't do this. There's no maylan one way or the other. There's no leaning in terms of the nafs one way or the other, whether I'm going to do it. But you just sort of, you're thinking about it now, right? You're thinking about it now. These three levels first, right? Hajis, khatir, and hadith and nafs. The ruling with regards to this is, it's a good thing, then the person is not necessarily rewarded. And if it's a bad thing, the person is not held accountable. The next level is what we call ham. And ham is when the nafs now has some type of mailan, right? When the lower self has some type of leaning towards doing it or not doing it. Now it's making some type of decision that a person wants to, you know, move towards that action. Now here is when accountability starts coming into play. It comes in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْرَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي. Right? Loosely translated in today's lingo, and he made for her, right? They were going to go for each other, right? لَوْلَا أَرْرَى, and he would have gone for her, لَوْلَا أَرْرَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي, if he had not seen the clear signs of your Lord. There's different things. This is talking about the story of Yusuf and Zulaykha. Right? When she tried to snare him and trap him in such a way that she could seduce him and, you know, have him, right, intimately. And so she was a beautiful, rich, lovely lady, right? A person of wealth, of nobility, of glamour, right? And she had become completely entranced by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And the word that is used in the Quran is hamma bihi, right? Now she had some type of inclination. She was making for him. Hamma bihi. So this hum is what, if a person has a good hum, then that person inshallah will be rewarded for that. And if a person has a bad hum, right, then a person is also not liable, even though they haven't done it, right? But now there's the nafs wants to do it, right? It's already gone to the point where it wants to do that. And then the final stage of a thought is what we call azam, right? When a person makes azam, makes a clear determination that I'm going to do this, right? That also is one is held accountable for. If a person has this azam that I'm going to, you know, do this type of sin, even if, for example, something happens, right? And a person not able to do that because he had azam, that person was totally going to do it otherwise, right? So now that person is held liable. Now that person is held liable. So what are the five different levels of thought that we talked about? We talked about what we call, what was hadith. And after that there's khatir. After that there's hadith and nafs. After that there's am. And then the last one is hadith. Now a person who is trying to avoid sin, they say that the first level is when a person starts to take his thoughts into account. Many people, they feel righteous when they're doing good deeds, right? But they let their thoughts go wherever they want. Because they said, I'm only thinking about it, I'm not doing it. Right? I'm only thinking about it, I'm not doing it. The one who is becoming a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let, the same way that he doesn't let his hands roam wild, or his private part run wild, or his feet run wild to do anything they want, he also does not let his mind run wild. Right? The idea is to fixate the eye on the mind, the self, and the heart on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Not on anything which is in the dunya, particularly not on a sinful thing. And when people are used to letting their minds run wild all throughout the day, then what happens is when they come in salah, then all that garbage comes out. Right? And then people say, I can't concentrate in salah. Well, of course you can't concentrate in salah because you're feeding all this garbage, right, throughout the day, filling it with, you're letting your mind think about whatever it wants, and then when there's actually some type of stillness, right, when there's some type of stop in terms of you're not doing something actively in terms of the dunya, you're actually standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things come to a quietude, then all this garbage starts coming out. Right? Then the 1 minute the mind is in Mongolia, the mind is in Bulgaria, the mind is in some type of club, and it's on this website, and you don't know, you know, you're like a globetrotter in your salah. Right? And the idea of salah is mi'raj al-mu'min, but it's not too blessed in the dunya. Right? It should be towards getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person should be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nadhirun ilayya, that he's looking at me. Right? Or you should have the maqam of ihsan, anta abudallaha ka'annaka tarahu fa'ilam tarahu fa'innahu yirak. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing him. Right? Of course, no one can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yudrikul absar, the sight cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a given. Right? But a person who is, you know, taking, who purifies himself so that he can concentrate, not outside of salah, the idea is that hopefully that will carry over within the salah. So we should be very careful about what we think about. Also know that our things, our actions, our dreams, our goals, our objectives, our modus operandi in our life is not born in some type of vacuum. Right? It's not that you get up one day and say, oh, I'm going to sin. Or it's not that you get up one day and you say that, oh, I can't believe I'm not leading a righteous life. All these thoughts are going into making who you are as a person. Right? They're defining you. They are, you know, manifesting who you are, and they are shaping you, they are molding you. Right? If you want to know what type of person you are, look at what you think about. If the whole day you're worried about thinking about, you know, making money, or all day you're thinking about that girl, or the whole day you're thinking about dunya, right? That's a very good indicator about what's going on inside. Right? It's a very good indicator about what's going on inside. So one should be very careful. The more that a person starts to The more that a person becomes careful about this and starts to guard his thoughts, then it becomes easier to guard his actions, right? Because you build the barriers very far away, right? A person who, for example, becomes lax about his sunnah, it's very easy for shaitan for him to take down your fara'id, right? But the person who's built already a barrier of his sunnah around his fard, then shaitan has to get through that first barrier first. Similarly, right? If a person has built a barrier around his thoughts, the first, before shaitan is even going to get you into a bad act, he has to mess up with your thoughts. He has to start getting you to think about bad things. If the whole day you're only thinking about righteous things, you're thinking about the akhirah, you're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He has to break through that barrier first, right? And then he can get maybe to your amal, right? Because he has to get you through hajjis, he has to get you through khatir, to hadith and nas, then he has to, you know, then you have to get to, you know, some type of hum, then you make azam, and then you go and do it, right? That's a long road. If you're stopping yourself way early, that is a solid way for a person to protect himself. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us among those whose minds, whose hearts, whose nafs is pure and is concentrated, fixated on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.